Good morning and welcome to the first part of a four-week series that I'm calling Finding Purpose in Pain. You might say, why am I in the church building again? Well, if I can just share with you, if I'm honest, I find it a little restrictive being sat around a table or in a chair. You know that I tend to be quite animated in my preaching, and so I just felt that I should just come down and just stand here in the hall, and it gives me a little bit more freedom. I hope you don't mind that. But anyway, finding purpose in pain. We are in a situation right now, a time that we have never before as a nation or indeed as the world ever experienced. And right now, many people are facing a lot of anxiety, a lot of pain, and a lot of uncertainty. And so I felt it important to bring a message that might just speak into your situation during these times. Pain is one of the most common of our human experiences. It's perhaps the next thing only to breathing. And of course, at this time, breathing is key, is a vital thing in all that is happening with this COVID virus. In fact, friends, I want to say that if you experience, if you can feel touch, then you can feel pain. Indeed, I would go on to say that if you can feel physically, if you can feel emotionally, then you're going to feel pain. And heaven help us when those two things come together at the same time. This is why I believe that some people, in order to protect themselves and stop themselves feeling pain, anesthetize themselves from the sensation of any touch, being touched physically, being touched emotionally. They don't allow anyone or indeed allow anything to come near them. When we are born, most of us, I'm assuming, most of us will have given out some sort of scream or yell. It's almost the expected norm. It's the sort of proof of life when you hear a newborn baby scream. Perhaps it's a reaction to the pain and the shock of arriving in a cold, hard world. I don't know. Certainly, at the point of death, it's true to say that a percentage of people will experience some form of pain, physical pain or discomfort. And right now, you know, our hearts go out to those who have lost loved ones, to those who have loved ones sitting in or lying in those COVID wards at the moment in a battle for life, struggling with breathing. In between our extremities of life, in terms of being born and our death when we are finally called home, in between those two points, it is punctuated by moments and events of pain. Some manageable, some just a hassle or an irritation rather than a problem. Other kinds of pain can be deep, can cut deep into us. It can be intense and prolonged. It can sometimes be so bad that we can despair of life itself. And we cannot understand the pain of people who feel that they have no other choice but to take their life. Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 1:8 understood this very issue. He said this, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." This is the Apostle Paul saying that things were so hard, so difficult, that they were despairing of life itself, thinking of just giving it in, packing it in, throwing in the towel. I don't know how many of you used to watch that 70s or the 80s program, the A-Team, and in there was the character of B.A. Baracus, a great character. And he used to say this, or I think he used to say this, about his two fists. He says, I want to introduce you to my friends, Hurt and Pain. Don't mess with me, sucker. Sorry about that poor impersonation of B.A. Baracus. But nothing in life prepares us for pain. As a child grows up, no one takes them aside and gives them that sort of pet talk about pain. They give them talks about other things, but I don't think anyone takes a child aside and says, listen, son or daughter, I just want to talk to you about pain, because that's something you're going to face in your life. As common as pain is portrayed in the Bible, we, even as the church, seldom preach about it. We seldom teach about it. And so every person, each person then develops their own coping mechanism for dealing with pain. And some of those are healthy, some of them not so healthy. Whether you manage it well or not, pain will come. It's inevitable. Life, it seems at times, has a way of beating us up. No matter who we are, every single one of us will experience pain. This is regardless of how much faith you consider that you have. It's regardless of how hard you consider that you pray. It doesn't matter what denominational stream or camp you come from. Pain, friends, is simply a reality of life. There's no getting away from it. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity, your gender, your social or educational background, your financial status, troubles and difficulties will come. Even for the believer, life is a mixture of pain and pleasure, victories and defeats, successes and failures. We don't experience pain, friends, because we are bad people. We experience pain because we are people. In order that we can effectively deal with anything that life brings our way, we need to understand pain. I want to start this morning by looking at just some foundational truths about pain. And here's number one. Pain is not optional. Pain is not optional. As students of Jesus, we are guilty sometimes of treating life almost like a menu of options. We pick and we choose the things that we want. If we don't like it, we put it to one side, or we try and ignore it. The things that we do like, we focus more and invest more of our time in. We get the idea that we don't need to go through pain if we play our cards right. If we do the right thing, if we say the right things, if we think the right things, then maybe we won't have to face pain. We may even go as far as silently condemning other people for having no faith at all. And because we see adversity in their lives, we attribute that to the fact that they are not exercising faith. Let me tell you, friends, that's a dangerous way to think. This kind of thinking leads us to conclude that if a person has a problem, then there must be something wrong in their life. They must be doing something wrong in their lives. In John 9, verses 1 to 3, we read an account of Jesus encountering a man who was born blind. And immediately we read, his disciples exercised the thinking that I was just talking about. They asked this question, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? I really hope that you can see that sort of question smacks not only of ignorance, but of arrogance and presumption. They had already concluded that someone must have sinned in order for the man to be in the state that he was in. Someone must have done something wrong, otherwise the man would not have been born blind. And we need, friends, to come to a place where we realize that no one needs to mess up in order for things to go wrong in our lives. When things go wrong, it's not that we've necessarily done anything wrong. It's not that someone has messed up. It's just that things go wrong in life. Jesus said in John 16:33, he said this, "In the world you will have tribulation." And this word, that tribulation, that we translate as tribulation, the context means pressure. It means affliction. It means anguish and trouble. In short, what Jesus is saying is you're going to experience pain in your life. This is one promise that we don't need to pray or fast about in order to claim. We just need to keep breathing, keep living, and I guarantee that it will come in time. Pain is part of the curriculum of life. It's not an elective, it's a required element. So don't let it surprise you, friends, when it does come. Again, in 1 Peter 4, verse 12, we read this, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you." Again, we read in James 1, verses 2 to 3, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." Some translations say patience. Notice this, that faith cannot be tested. If you didn't have it in the first place, you cannot test faith. Pain will come. Come it will. It is not optional. But we're encouraged because we're told that even though it will come, we can rejoice. Because in John 6:33, Jesus also said, "Take heart, friends, for I have overcome the world." And that means he has overcome every situation, every circumstance that you and I will have to go through. The second thing that I want to share this morning about pain is this, that pain is not predictable. Pain is not predictable. Have you ever noticed that the problems that we get in life, the difficulties, the adversities, seem to come when we least expect them? In reality, the truth is this, we're never expecting them. We're never expecting them to come. And so there's never really a convenient time when they come knocking at our door. If problems come when things are going well, we'd probably protest that they've come just to spoil our fun. By equal measure, if they come when things are already bad, then we might say something like this. And you've probably heard people say it before. You may have said it yourself. You say, "It never rains, but it pours." Pain, friends, is not predictable. It will come when it comes. It will show up when you least expect it. Wouldn't it be nice if we could all open our calendars and say, okay then, well, maybe March and April and May are convenient for me. You know, I'm at home doing nothing at the moment. I'm on furlough. So yeah, if the troubles are going to come, if the tribulation's going to come, if the pain's going to come, those would be good months for me to experience them. And then I can get on with my life. Then I can know I can go through the rest of the year without having to face any troubles at all. But friends, you and I know that we simply can't schedule heartache. We can't schedule those moments that throw us off guard or catch us off balance. We cannot schedule pain and hurt in our life the way that we would schedule a dental appointment. And I am, of course, assuming that we all schedule our dental appointments. Problems have no respect for our calendars. Problems and pain has no respect for what is convenient or indeed comfortable for us. They are simply unpredictable. All of us are only ever a phone call away from our lives being turned upside down. Pain is not predictable. But God does promise us this, that he will always provide a means of escape or a way through it. In the same way that God sent an angel to minister to Jesus after his temptation during his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, so God will dispatch his ministering spirits into our situation. God does not leave us alone. We are reminded that though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we are not alone. God himself, by his Holy Spirit, walks with us, leads us. And we were reminded last week from the message from Keith Warrington that the Holy Spirit is more for us than we will ever realize. The third thing is about pain is this, that pain is not prejudiced. Pain, friends, is no respecter of persons. It affects people indiscriminately, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of your faith, regardless of no faith at all, regardless of what you believe or your culture. Pain does not respect anyone. I've met people over the years, a variety of people from different backgrounds, good people, bad people, rich people, poor people, educated people, uneducated people. And the conclusion is exactly the same. Everyone experiences pain. Jesus, speaking about the need to love our enemies, that is those who would intentionally bring us hurt and do us harm. He says this about the Father, for he makes the sun to rise on the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. That's in Matthew 5:45. You see, pain and hurt and testing and tribulation, call it what you will, is no respecter of persons. It comes to us all. And what Jesus was saying is that, yes, bad things happen to good people, and good things can happen to bad people. How many times have we looked at someone and we, in our small-minded thinking, have considered that that person doesn't deserve it? How comes they don't love Jesus? How comes they're not living in obedience to God, and yet they seem to be more blessed than me? How many times have you thought that? The reality is that it is no respecter of persons. Bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. Sometimes when calamity comes upon a good person, again, we look at them and we think, surely that shouldn't be happening to them. Again, we might think, I know someone who is probably more deserving. It should happen to them, not to this person. But friends, pain does not discriminate. It's a part of life. We are all in this together. This is the evidence that we have. We are all experiencing the impact of this COVID virus together. It doesn't bypass anyone. It doesn't miss anyone out. It's not that you can pay your dues in order that it doesn't come to your door. All of us are affected by it. But we also need to remember, and here's the fourth point and the last point for this morning. Pain is not permanent. Pain is not permanent. Robert Schuller, the tele-evangelist who's gone home to glory now, was famous for his Hour of Power. And he said this, in fact, he wrote a book with the same title, Tough Times Never Last, But Tough People Do. No matter what you're going through today, no matter how long you've been going through it, whether it's 3 weeks or 3 years, don't forget that you are only going through it. Don't forget that you're just passing through. It's not where God intends you to stay, but God will lead you and walk you through it. However intense the pain may be, however intense the hurting may be, hear this, it will pass. It will pass. I know because I've had it myself in different ways, physical and emotional pain. I know that sometimes the hurt and the pain can be so intense that you feel that it's never going to end. You feel that you're never going to come out of that moment, and you feel that your life is at a standstill. But Paul reminds us of this. The affliction is only for a moment. 2 Corinthians 3:17. It's a known reality, friends, of life that storms come and storms go. We have seen over the last few years in the natural many storms, great storms, huge storms, destructive storms that have come and swept across land and nations and towns and destroyed things. But like everything else, friends, storms come and storms go. And what is true in the natural is very true in the spiritual. So here is the application. If pain is not permanent, then our victories cannot be measured by when we come out, but by how we come out. Let me say that again. If pain is not permanent, then our victories, or the measure of whether we have had victory, is not the measure is not based on when we come out, because that is guaranteed, but it is measured on how we come out. The fact that your pain came to an end cannot, friends, be the real victory, cannot be the victory of itself. No. The real victory is this. It's what will you become when the pain has passed? What will you become when you have come through it? There is the victory. That's how you measure the victory. That's how you measure the work of God in your life. By what you become, by what you allow the Holy Spirit to change and transform you into once you have come through. And so let me conclude with this. How you come out is not up to you. How you come through your pain is not up to you. But good news, neither is it up to the devil. And it's not up to God. God's responsibility is to make sure that you do come through. That's his responsibility. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 6:13 when it reminds us and talks to us about putting on the armor of God. It says this, "So put on the armor of God now. Then when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist the enemy's attacks, and after fighting to the end, you will still hold your ground." I love that. Listen to that again. You will still hold your ground. Some translations put it like this, that when all has passed, you will still stand. You see, that's God's plan for you. It's not that you crumble, not that you falter, that you fail, and that you don't come out. But God's plan for you is not only that he will take you through your times of pain and struggle, but actually his intention is that you stand and that you become stronger. How you come out will be determined by what you do when you are going through your pain. And so, friends, at this time, I want you to be encouraged. Whatever you are facing at the moment, you might feel as though it's not coming to an end, but be encouraged. Take heart, because it's momentary. God's plan and purpose is that you will come through and that you will stand. Let me say that again. You will stand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Next week, we're going to begin to look at the question of why does pain come into our lives? Let me just pray with you now. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you're a good God. We thank you, Father God, that you remind us that you don't leave us alone, that you don't abandon us, Lord God, when things go pear-shaped and belly up, but rather, Lord God, you walk with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you strengthen us. Thank you, Father God, that your plan, your future, your purpose for us is that we would stand. And Father, right now, I pray for every person watching this video, for every person that is feeling that they are at the end of their tether, feeling that they have no other resource, feeling that they have nowhere else to go. Father God, I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would meet them in this moment at their point of need. Father, would you prove yourself to be the God of comfort, the God who is able, and the God who has promised that you will never leave or forsake us. Father, in this moment, I pray in Jesus' name that you might stir faith in you in the hearts of men and women. Thank you, Father God, that you are always good, even in the worst of times. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.